Well, let's take care of housekeeping things. I know almost everybody in here. I'm Gary Forsman. I've been an internist in this county for 18 years and for a little bit longer than that. And so I'll be doing this talk tonight on the lack of energy remedy, one of the most common things everybody asks. Actually, the most common thing people present to for a physician is for fatigue. Okay, so, and the workup and the kinds of things, it's extensive how much can be done to look at this symptom. I organized it in a set way, and if some of you have seen my talks will know the way I'm organizing it. But the idea of tonight's talk is to get everybody to be their own best physician, to listen to their symptoms, not just try to suppress them. Okay, basic stuff. Miranda and Veronica from Middle Path Medicine, they'll answer questions about our place in general. Make-A-Wish Foundation, please. We donate our time and a lot of time into putting these things together. So if you find some value in this, please support Make-A-Wish Foundation. They're a wonderful organization. And the way I want to do this talk, we have a little bit more intimate setting. It's not as controversial talks like gluten-free and things like that. So please, ask questions all along the way. That's what makes this stuff a lot more fun. This thing is set up so we could take... I actually have my ratio of the far side slides in there, you know, just about right. Okay, so it's all set up for as many questions as you want. And support Gary Larson in the far side. So without further ado, let's get going. All right, so as many of you know, my job is an integrator of knowledge. I mean, practicing integration in medicine as compared to disintegration, okay? And when I find something out there that kind of correlates very well with what I do and is another reference, then I say, hey, this is something I can recommend to my patients. This book called Transcend, okay? This is a book, okay? Ray Kurzweil and Terry Grossman wrote this a couple of years ago. It's one of the first books I've ever recommended to my patients in terms of general medicine. The reason I like the book is because it's an acronym. Okay, this acronym, as you can see, TRANSCEND, I added in some of my own things as far as that goes, but it gives us a good way of looking at stuff. When I say stuff, your symptoms are your teachers. If you have fatigue, you go into inquiry. Huh, I wonder what that's about. But inquiry requires you knowing which questions to ask. This talk tonight is about you hopefully expanding your vocabulary of questions more so than me answering them, because you're the one who's supposed to answer them. And sometimes you said, wow, I didn't know about detoxification. So, huh, you mean fatigue can be a symptom that's associated with being toxic? Yeah. So let's start asking questions about what detoxification is or whatever else is in here that might fit in. Okay, so this is a wonderful book. It's on paperback on Amazon. That's where I get things these days. And unfortunately, our bookstores are going the way of the whatever dodo. Support your local bookstores, please. But I'm just going to tell you that's where I got this book. And so, and that acronym, T stands with talk with your doctor, and we'll talk about therapy as well, psychotherapy. Where R is for relaxation, which I would call stress management. And this just went batteries. Yeah, of course, they lock themselves out. So we're going to do this without, I'll just click this along. Dead. Okay, so assessment. This is where it comes in your doctor. Please get a guide in your healthcare. Every system of healing has always said, have a guide. But unfortunately, in the last 100 years, we've made everybody think the doctor heals me. The doctor doesn't heal you. They guide you, you know, lead you to the water and see if you can drink. Nutrition, we've talked at length about in the last two talks, so I'm not going to go on and on about that because we spent a lot of time talking about nutrition. Supplements, sex, and sleep. These need all their little things in terms of the S's. These are areas to be in inquiry about. How am I doing in all these areas in terms of if I'm fatigued? Calorie reduction, moderation in general. Exercise, interval training. New technologies, detoxification, and what I'd call Dharma, which is purpose. So if you have a symptom, and let's just stick with fatigue, obviously, but I could use headaches, I could use I don't feel goods, I can use any symptom and say, huh, this is a model to journal for yourself and work things out. And this is a good book that goes over things as well. I can tell you, you know, what we're going to talk about tonight really gives you a broad overview, but can't go through, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pages in the book. Let me see using this thing. Ha, I did it. Okay. Now, A kind person sent this to me. So, please, for the love of all that's good and pure and holy in this world, don't mention him. There's some good information there. This does go into people looking outwards for answers, not inwards. And I'm so much more about, you know, you find many more, much better answers when you ask within in terms of knowing thyself for why you have symptoms. Of course, there's a value in education. I'm not saying different. And I'm not saying everything Dr. Oz says is not correct. It just leads to what's happened, really, because I've been a physician for 25 years now, okay? And in that 25 years, I've really noticed that people come in, they used to come in as the blank slate, and now they come in with so misinformed, and it's so much more difficult to treat people nowadays. And when I say nowadays, seriously, within my career, it is extraordinarily much more difficult to treat people, because people think they know stuff that they don't know, and they think they're experts because they get on WebMD and they know what drug they need and everything else like that, and they've been so taken away from even the self-inquiry process. So I encourage so many of my patients, they go online and look up things. I'm not trying to say you can't ever do this. I'm just saying be very careful about thinking when you have symptoms, dis-ease that precedes disease, okay? Dis-ease, discomfort, which precedes disease, okay? What you're reading out there on the websites and things is about diseases, which most likely you don't have. You have dis-ease. So everything you read about it is not going to be pertaining to you. So, and it's pretty much true. Well, get to your doctor for diagnoses of things. Talk to them about it. Look, forget for references. But most of the things you find on the WebMDs of the world are how to make you afraid, get you diseased, and get you to a specialist so you can take a drug you most likely don't need. Okay, and so that's why we try to get people to have a primary care physician. So, talk with your doctor. I cannot emphasize, no lecture or presentation is meant to replace the honest and thorough communication between you and a personal physician. Of course I want people coming to talks and saying, huh, there's another way of looking at the world. But if you get a piece of information, you know, the last thing you want to do is say, Dr. Forsman said my testosterone should be 800, and what are you doing about it? Because that's not going to get you anywhere, okay? Or whatever. Okay, so we want to get information, but, and this is the rub, so to speak, okay? Which is many of the times the doctors out there are good at finding diseases, but not dis-ease, which means discomfort and imbalances, okay? So often, the imbalance is way preceded before you actually call something a disease. You guys have heard me talk about this in a very simple example, which would be the A1C test, which is a 3-month blood sugar. Okay, an optimal level for this 3-month blood sugar test is 5.2. You are not diabetic until you are 6.0 on this test. Okay, some doctors won't even say, well, it's not really that important until after 7. By the time you go from 5.2 to 6, somewhere between 75 to 80% of the damage of blood sugar will have already occurred to your body. So is that a disease? And the answer is kind of yes. That's why so many type 2 diabetics already have nerve damage, eye damage, etc. by the time they're diagnosed. It really is a disease, but we don't want you taking drugs for it. So there's this area of imbalance which is occurring, which is trying to tell you something. Okay? There is a many general studies out there showing that people who have fatigue have a higher rate of coronary artery disease than the general population. So this is a symptom to look for diseases. I'm not saying to not look for disease. We'll get to assessment in a bit, okay? But in general, most people with fatigue have an imbalance in their body. And that imbalance is best treated by them because there's so many causes for it. And your doctor knows this much, this tiny little portion of what to look for that. And even within their Western medical tests, sometimes they're not trained on how to pick up on imbalances, just diseases. Do you understand the difference? That's a really key concept. And so when you say, my doctor said my lab tests were okay, the vast majority of times when I get the tests on people who were told that, they were far from okay. Thank you. Next. And by the way, the best primary care, I met with a chiropractor the other day and I told him the same thing I'm going to tell you. Primary care physician is best handled by somebody other than an MD. Okay? Now I know that sounds radical, okay? But it's true. Why? Because most of the other systems of healing are taught how to treat you as people who actually have imbalances prior to getting diseases. They're actually trained at looking for that. So the acupuncturists, chiropractors, naturopathic physicians, etc. The Western doctor is a specialist in drugs and surgery, and thank heavens they're there. Anybody who's heard me talk has heard me say exactly this before. Thank heavens for Western doctors when you need drugs and surgery. But asking them how to do primary care stuff is actually kind of cruel. Most of them have been trained entirely in hospitals, where everything is urgency, I'm putting in lines into people and everything else. I was extraordinarily good at that system of healing, by the way. Everybody knows this, I love putting needles into people. I'm really good at it, actually. Putting lines in and doing things, spinal taps, whatever else like that. Now, again, this was 20-some years ago. You don't want to say, hey, it's just like riding a bike, how about a spinal tap today? But, really good at it. And it's about fixing things acutely and getting acute change. That's what your doctor was treated with. And then, well, sure, you know, we acutely blot your blood pressure down with this X medicine X, and now in your outpatient setting, they try to do the same thing to you with devastating consequences. Okay, and so I really do encourage you to find a primary care practitioner who has something to do other than an MD. Now, obviously I'm an MD, but I think most of you know I'm a little different than most of the MDs out there, okay? So, who has training like myself through the A4M, worldhealth.net is a good reference for A4M, American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, A4M doctors, who do similar things to what I do, okay? So, get a primary care person, but consider your healer to be something other than an MD. Now, once again, you have an acute emergency, MDs, thank heavens for them. I want to make sure everybody hears that, okay? Your doctor's knowledge of you as the person, this is where knowing the individual becomes so important, okay? Because most systems of healing, you treat the person who has the symptom, or the disease even. You don't treat the symptom, you don't treat the disease. Western medicine is the best symptom relief medicine ever. Don't ever let, I have said that many times. If you want to quash a symptom, take a drug. Okay, you want to treat a symptom, think about something other than drugs. Okay, this definition of authority is one who has a particular interest in a subject and lives at least 100 miles away needs to be addressed. It's like Dr. Oz. Why will my patients listen to Dr. Oz and not me? But he's on TV. That's a good reason. And this is the thing, this integration versus disintegration, and what we have currently being a disease care system is we want specialists of every little part of our body, our foot specialist, an eye specialist, a liver specialist, etc. We disintegrate ourselves and throw ourselves at doctors who are specialists in those areas. And most likely they know more about your liver. Okay? And there's a time and a special place for a liver specialist. And I'm not saying different once again. But do you want to start with a liver specialist when you have a liver problem? And the answer is most of the times no. Because their focus is on healing your liver, not on healing you. That's the problem with the disintegrative world that we're in. We want you to start with people who are interested in healing you, not just your liver. Okay. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a liver specialist. Yes?
Do we have an integrative medicine cardiologist around?
The question is, do we have an integrative medicine cardiologist around here? And the answer is absolutely no. If there's any group of doctors that I've been successful in pissing off, those are the ones. And when I say it that way, you know, earlier when I started doing this, and I broke out from St. Louis Medical Clinic, sorry, it was Mission Medical Associates at the time, how we forget already, in 1998, you know, and I have to admit, early in my career, probably, you know, chapped some hides a little bit more than I needed to. It's kind of the way I am sometimes. I'm much less that way now, but even the message that I give you right now, which is so guarded about, like, I tell people, my patients, see a cardiologist when you need a stent or when you need, you know, somebody to figure out if you need bypass surgery or certain drugs. But man, do not see a cardiologist first because, and that's a perfect example, because they are statins. They've been indoctrinated to give statin drugs at high dosage for everybody. You can't get your LDL low enough. And they, honestly, the American Heart Association, one of the greatest causes of heart disease in our society. So listening to a group whose goal is to create heart disease, consciously or unconsciously, is not a good idea, okay? When you need acute therapy for your heart, yay, see your cardiologist. But integrative cardiology is not one of the fortes in the area. Stephen Sinatra, have you guys heard of him? Not Frank Sinatra, Stephen Sinatra, yes. Stephen Sinatra, metabolic cardiology, is a good integrative cardiology reference for somebody who says things similar to what I say. So, therapy. Every one of you needs it. Okay? Every one of you. Me, you, everybody. So if you ever wonder if you think you need therapy, the answer is yes. Okay? This is a little part. Most systems of healing look at the body of layers, you know. And there's, like in Ayurvedic medicine, the one I know, there's, you know, Anandamaya Kosha, that layer which gives the illusion of physicality. There's Manamaya Kosha, that layer which gives the illusion of the mind. You know, Pranamaya Kosha, that layer that gives the illusion of having an energy body, okay? And the idea is we have all these different layers, just like Shrek, okay? And and in terms of seeing into them, okay, and working with them, there's different modalities for each, all right? So it's very important for you to ask, wow, if I'm feeling so tired, I wonder if there's something going on, an emotional attachment in the past, something I need to heal. Can we get good therapists to work with me on these types of things? The answer is that's the area to look into that. Most people do not want to go there, guys especially. Most guys actually mature to an emotional level of a teenager and stay there for the rest of their lives. I know the women here are not going to argue with me, but it's true. Do we need to emotionally mature ourselves, guys? Yes. And I'm not saying women don't need help too, but I'm just saying, you know, so we all do. So look at that. Is there something going on at an emotional level that's causing my symptoms? Brain patterning, obsessive compulsive behaviors. This is the area to look into psychotherapy as part of an approach to figure out why you might feel tired. Seriously, it's something where some people refuse to ask. Whenever somebody says, I ain't going to look there, I go, that's exactly where you need to look then. That's the rock that needs to be uncovered. Integrative medicine, use our website. We have a lot of great references for a lot of things. Let's see. Ta-da! Okay. I'm sticking under this in, you know, talking with your doctor and things. This is a slide I modified, being your own best healer. So, and my part that I'm going to do here, because I just kind of threw these in there, is make sure we understand what healing is about, that we can heal through any sense in our body. Most people think, and they come to me, and instead of wanting to take a drug for a symptom, they want to take an herb for a symptom. And I'm just like, you know, that's only a little skosh better in terms of what I'm really talking about. So then look at these imbalances in yourself, and remember, you don't have to come to a diagnosis. Do you have a deficiency or excess in any of your senses? Almost everybody does. And can you heal from that standpoint? The answer is yes. We were just driving here, and Miranda was mentioning, you know, when we noticed that when we play 60s music in the office, there's a lot more conversation, there's a lot more things going on. Even, you know, like we'll get the sound, music changes the energy in a place. Do I use music with intention? Most people don't, okay? So when I go through this, you know, and anybody knows, I had this great learning experience, you know, just recently went on a family reunion. How many people have been to those, okay? You think that was a vacation? No. All right, then. So you understand. You know, and you know, seriously, every morning we'd get up with, and there would be Fox News on, you know, I mean, and I'm sorry for anybody who watches that. I really am. I'd rather hear a screeching chalkboard than that. It's astounding to watch the dramatic, I mean, there is nobody in the world better at giving you misinformation meant to create fear and disease in society so you become conservative in a viewpoint so that you have fear in your life. That is the mission for that organization. People listen to it and watch it for, and it is one of the greatest causes of disease in our society because people listen to it nonstop, seriously, hour after hour after hour, and the ramping up of anger and hostility, even within my family, which are intelligent people, it's astounding to watch. Astounding, okay? So look at that pattern, and I'll tell you about any news. inform yourself about those things you can change in your life, okay? The things you can't, you don't need to know about every bus crash, every whatever else in the world. It does not help you or the people involved. Is that why you're tired? Could very well be. It's overwhelming to have that stuff going into your body, and that is a cause of disease. So think about your visual sense, and do you spend time in nature? Just a little tired this afternoon. Yes, tired. What did I do? Went outside, just got some sun, feet in the soil. Okay. You know, do simple things and get yourself nature, beauty. Can I use my visual senses for healing or for harm? Auditory. Any form of music. Doesn't have to be singing bowls. It can be country music, okay? Whatever it takes. Whatever you're tuned to. Do you use music consciously? Remember, another great example is just in my next door. I've had some of the best experiences for the people we moved into a new home. There's even just this afternoon when I was feet in the soil and the sun, the lady next door was playing on the piano, and it was just beautiful. It was just melodic. There was hummingbirds and piano music and all these other things. About a month ago, there was like the most roaring, ugly death metal coming from the same house. It was astounding, these contrasts and how we change the environment around us, okay? Laughter. Do we have laughter deficiency? Yes. Consciously get laughter back in your home. Stream Netflix or whatever else you like, and whether it's Seinfeld, whatever else, heal with laughter. Is it the best medicine? One of the best, okay? Do you have laughter deficiency? Ask yourself. Think of your senses. This is obviously an audio-visual continuum. That's why I put laughter after those first. Do I use smells consciously, taste consciously? Touch, we'll talk. And this is a great, all organic skincare and home products. Please, don't put anything on your skin that you wouldn't want to put in your mouth. We are toxic loading ourselves. A study came out recently looking at just sunscreen, okay, and sunscreen in teenage girls leading to PMS, endometriosis, infertility, all those things, just by looking at sunscreen alone. And by the way, sunscreen is one of the greatest mythologies of all time as well, that it's good for you. Okay, that's another cause of disease in and of itself, let alone the chemicals that we're poisoning ourselves. It doesn't even accomplish what we're saying it's accomplishing. So think about all these things and how you have been created to believe a certain thing. You know, just when we talk about fat, you know, fats was a recent talk that we did. Everybody still thinks fat, not everybody, so many people still think fats are bad for them. It's not true. Sunscreen's good for them. It's not true. And it's and underneath it, there's a great marketing campaign to have you buy things that aren't good for you. Why that is, it's a bigger topic than tonight. Okay. The life-transforming power of symptoms to heal. Please, whatever your symptom, if you get one thing, okay, learn from them. Don't just suppress them. And I tell every one of my patients, I certainly wish they didn't have whatever disease they have, whatever symptom they have. I'm not the deliverer of fear in the universe, okay? So whether these things are fear that they have them isn't the point. However, when we talk about it, we got to look at what is this symptom trying to teach me? Symptoms from every system of healing or your teachers. So, you know, ever heard that saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear? Okay? So your body's trying to teach you something with these things. And most of the times, you don't want to listen, you want to ignore it, push it away, and move on. It's understandable, you've been taught to do that. Just number one cause of liver failure in our country, my doctor said Tylenol. Tylenol is the number one cause of liver failure in our country. Both acute and chronic toxicity. Okay, what is Tylenol about? Tylenol has actually never really been shown to be any better than a placebo, by the way. Okay, and it cures absolutely nothing. And we all take it. My doctor says it. So it must be good, right? No, it's a great cause of disease in our society. And it's actually more or less a placebo. But we believe in it. So, you know, once you talk about this, if you believe in a placebo, remember, it works. I'm not saying it, you know, well, I take Tylenol and it works for me. I'm not even arguing with that. I'm just telling you, if you look at the cumulative trials, the meta-analyses, Tylenol is no better than a placebo. Okay? Anti-inflammatory drugs cure nothing and are the number one cause of overall mortality associated with drug. Not the Tylenol was just liver disease. Okay, anti-inflammatory drugs causing GI bleeding, kidney failure, etc., leading cause of medicine-related deaths in our society from drugs, okay, and they're over-the-counter. Okay. What's that? Oh, the question's about Tums. Well, Tums, and again, I have a website presentation, Multi-Mineral Misconceptions, okay? And the promotion of calcium. This is where I, you know, it seems controversial for people because when I do this part of things, everybody starts getting oogified, okay? I don't know if that's a real word, but I think you know what I mean, okay? But the year, almost 2 years ago, it was 2 years, it'll be 2 years in January, subdivision of NIH, blocking on their name, came out with recommendations about low dose, you know, don't take too much vitamin D, it's dangerous for you, but keep taking Tums, okay? Now, and now I want you to hear this, okay? At the research was already well there talking about how calcium supplements on their own, about one out of 77 women who followed doctor's recommendations, my doctor said Tums, will get a heart attack or stroke from taking that medicine, okay? And why is that? Because it's an imbalanced nutrient, all right? But the recommendation is don't take D, which has been proven to save your lives, and do take Tums. And that was the current recommendations by your... And why that is, again, I don't know, but I it's not a good reason, okay? And the data, the science, and this is what I tell people, why do I do what I do? Because when I went into Western medicine, I was fool enough to think that I was going into a science-based system. And somewhere along the way, I went, I'm part of a cult. No, really, it's a belief system because the data doesn't support what the doctors are doing, okay? So when the data doesn't support what we're doing, you have to step back and go, huh, what's that all about, okay? And we're part of something where we're not losing data anymore to make our decisions. So I can't tell you why that organization, it wasn't based upon data, made the recommendation to keep taking Tums, ladies. But I can tell you that Tums and most calcium supplements out there, the top four makers are actually pharmaceutical companies, unlike any other supplement out there. And that's the one that we recommend. Fascinating. Okay. And so that's why, now once again, what you're seeing, and this isn't being negative, the things that are out there that you find on the websites aren't there to help you heal. They're out there to help sell something to you. Okay. Self-inquiry. And I'm just trying to give you different ideas. The Transcend model. You know, I'm still not getting there with that, Gary. Well, let's look at your senses. You know, do I get enough touch? And when I say chemotherapy, I'm not just talking about cancer chemotherapy. Every drug is a chemo. So every medicine you take, including Tums, is a chemo. Okay, Tums is calcium carbonate, but it has a chemo part of it. But any other medicine, like the Tylenols and whatever else, are chemos. Okay, and so, but does touch deficiency exist in our country? Heck yes. Okay. Does touch excess exist too? Yes, okay, so you have to ask from both directions. Remember, it's not just about deficiencies. There's excesses of both these things, like the death metal, who I call an excess, on the auditory system, okay? All right, now back to testing whether laughter is the best medicine. It's one of my favorite slides. And see, this is the people you're going to see. This is what we were taught. I'm just kidding. we tried this out on everybody, and... questions so far, okay? So it's a confusing thing, but do I think you should talk with your doctor when you have a symptom like fatigue? Of course I do. I want to open up your ideas about what a doctor might be from a chiropractor, naturopath. Know your Western doctor is a specialist in drugs and surgery, so understand when they see you, that's what they see, what they're looking at. That's not in any way mean. That's just what they do, okay? And when we look at this as a guide for healing, remember, you're your best guide in this area because nobody knows you better than you. And look in your darker places, the places you don't want to go, okay? Your symptom is driving a change in behavior, not just, gosh, Gary, aren't you going to talk about ribose and cordyceps and all the fun things, supplements? And the answer is, I'm not going to talk a bunch about supplements. I love supplements. Everybody knows that, okay? However, supplements are just a part of this bigger picture. Relaxation. Everybody knows I would call this stress management. I have an extensive practice of meditation and know more about it than any of you want to know tonight. Okay? So, what I would tell you, single most important thing we can do individually or collectively as a species, it is the know thyself part of things. It is what you, knowing who you are, past just your physicality, that illusion that gives physicality, that illusory self of your mental body, that illusory self of your energy body, knowing something a little bit more than that. This program here is one I've been playing with. I teach primordial sound meditation, and on the stress management series, which is on our website, okay, it's a great series, okay, and yes, I did it, but I can still call it great. It is a great series because it puts down a little bit about how to approach stress. And I'll just very briefly, stress unloading, minimize the stuff coming in. Is there too much on my plate? Stress relieving, okay, which is exercise especially. Get that stuff out of me, okay? And stress reduction, which is a meditative practice. It is you reproducibly seeing yourself, okay? This profound meditation program uses binaural beat technology. Oops, I did it. Sorry. I'm like Jessica Simpson. No, that's Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again. Sorry. sorry, that's my loose affiliation with the thoughts. everybody here knows I do this. So back to profound. Binaural beat technology means we can use technology embedded within music on headphones or earbuds. You can help get a little difference in beats between the ears, which your brain can entrain to, and help you get into alpha states, delta states, theta states, etc. It's helpful for people. I like this program. It's better than some of the old ones we used to recommend, Holosyncs, etc. Don't worry about those terms. Look at this as being something as if you like to use current technology to help with the process of meditation, I think it's wonderful. Now, 20 years ago, would I ever thought of bringing technology into the world of meditation? No. That I'm trying to help people get past. Basically, people are afraid to meditate, and they've been taught to be afraid of themselves for the most part, and that silence isn't a comfortable place, or that they have to be doing something to have value in this world. It's the most important thing we can do as part of our journey. And so I like Ken Wilber. Everybody knows he's one of the best integral philosophers in our world today, okay, looking at the world from an integral perspective. Okay, stress management series, this middle path, balancing being and doing, feminine and masculine, saving and spending. You could talk about it from all these perceived opposites we have in this world, okay? But look how we're balancing those things. And, you know, in today's world, on average, the excesses tend to be on spending, not saving, right? Okay? Doing, not being, okay? So you can see these balances, imbalances everywhere. And the beingness part is that thing that we need to bring into our lives for the most part. Thich Nhat Hanh was famous for getting the monks out of just being and saying, damn, you guys got to start doing some stuff, okay? So that was Buddhism in action, right? Okay? And so, because that was the opposite problem, just sitting around being monk-like when the rivers are flooding and people are dying isn't as helpful as you guys think it is. Okay? So that's that balance, okay? It really is. And so just some people balance towards too much being, and that's a very small percentage of the population, too much monkishness, okay? But look at this as being part of something so powerful for yourself. When you feel overwhelmed, which is probably the greatest, you know, reason for feeling fatigue, okay? There's a category term in the psychology literature called self-critical perfectionism. It's one of the things that predicts fatigue more than anything else. You being perfectionist and self-critical. That inner conversation that goes on and on, okay, is one of the greatest causes of fatigue in yourself. Okay? And so how do we break that loop of self-critical perfectionism? Know thyself. And then once you know yourself, you don't need to be critical of yourself. Everybody's heard me say this. If my thoughts are running away with me, and I'm the thinker of my thoughts, that means I'm running away with me. There ain't no way that that's a good situation, okay? So what's the disease there? The disease is not being connected with who you really are. That's a huge issue in today's world. And it's so easy. That's the thing that people don't understand. It's the easiest thing in the world to just be with you. But it's not, because you don't think it is. It's an interesting paradox. This goes into hanging around with people who support a certain way of being. I'm sorry, this says, you're kidding, I was struck twice by lightning too. And so getting a community of people who support you in your worldview. Find yourself, attract your people to you that meditate as well, that eat organically as well. We need Do we need to provide a community to support ourselves? Heck yes. It's a whole lot of forces in this world. I already mentioned them. Profits, motives, and TV shows and things that are driving you in a direction that isn't towards your own health. Okay? And everybody knows it. I cannot emphasize this. Everybody I see knows this at some level. Okay? They just don't know where to look. And the answer is stop looking outward, start looking inward. Find people who support you. Don't get me wrong. Okay? I'm not saying different than that, but you're the biggest part of this equation. Assessment. Okay, so this is where I added a few slides, and this part of it is where a doctor can be extremely helpful for you, especially if they know integrative medicine, know how to interpret labs from a standpoint not just of do I have a disease or not. Okay, and we'll talk about these. This goes way past, so if you have questions, way past what we can do in a general discussion, okay? So I will talk about a few basic things here, but there are so many ways of helping evaluate the physicalness. So remember, I talked about some pretty intangible things. Do I have music deficiency? Do I have beauty deficiency? Touch deficiency? All these other things that I don't have an accurate assessment for, okay? However, man, there's a lot of things we can measure out there. Everybody who knows me knows I love to measure stuff. Okay, so I'm not saying different. Measure stuff you can, all right? So is it important, if you have fatigue, to make sure you've gotten these tests and have an eye look at them, not just from a disease standpoint? And I really got to emphasize that. When you look at a complete blood count, we're also looking at the size of the red cells, this red cell distribution with a bunch of things within the CBC to see if there's health present there or not. The comprehensive metabolic panel is your standard chemistry test, okay? So we're looking at kidney functions, an optimal blood sugar that is under 85, okay? Are my kidney functions and liver functions optimal, okay? A fasting lipid profile, especially things like SpectraCell is a company who does lipoprotein particle fractionation, that's the LPP, you can get a lot of information about how healthy someone is, how much inflammation is present, because the LPP includes that C-reactive protein, and you can find, and this is one thing without me, a lot of the literature that I read lately was into the inflammatory biomarkers of fatigue, okay? Depression, we did a talk on depression. Depression is an inflammatory disease. Inflammation, especially the microglial cells, sorry, it's just what they're called, okay, support cells in the brain, okay, that lead to triggering of the symptom known as depression. And transient fatigue and chronic depression are completely linked, and they're both inflammatory illnesses, all right? C-reactive protein is just one of those markers. Down the road, but this is where the rubber hits the road yet again. Our disease care system focuses on me ordering tests that only are for diagnosable diseases. So if I start really getting interested in this and measuring interleukin-6 and interleukin-8, soluble interleukin receptor and antibodies, etc., all these great cool markers, I can find markers of your fatigue. I can, on almost everybody. Okay, So C-reactive protein, even the C-reactive protein is being fought by the insurance companies. I'll be right there, I promise. And so it's very difficult for me to order tests that don't that get covered by your insurance, okay, have an ICD code, because remember, just look at that. I have to have a disease code to get your tests covered when you have an imbalance, not a disease. So I have to make shit up. Seriously, okay? It's to get it covered. And everybody gets mad at me, oh, you ordered an esoteric test and it's not covered, and I have to try to figure out a different code to work it out and things like that. So there's so much, but C-reactive protein is a good start for you people, either highly sensitive. And if it's elevated past 1, okay, not just 3, but past 1, that's something for your doctor to look at. What is the source of inflammation? Yes?
Did you say that blood sugar should be
85? 85 or less. Great question. So here it is. So it's not that her doctor was wrong. So that's really important to hear that. So the question goes into, I said, a blood sugar under 85 is optimal. That's the right word to use. Okay. By the time you get to 95, 105, 105 and over is agreed to be diabetes. So, and I'm sorry, but every 1 point above 85, your risk of diabetes goes up 7% compared to somebody who's under 85. So at 95... if you don't mind me saying, at 95, you have a 70% higher chance of developing diabetes as compared to somebody under 85. Furthermore, the damage is already occurring. So anybody over 85 should have an A1C test, which is a 3-month blood sugar test. Well, good in what way? What was the number? Because that's the key. The A1C goes to 6, okay, and look to see, was it under 5.2? Okay, that's the optimal level. The 5.2 on an A1C is equivalent to about the 85 on the blood sugar fasting. There's a lot of variations here, and it's a little bit more complex, but I'm getting you in the ballpark. So, and that's the whole thing. The doctor said, oh, it's 95, your blood sugar, you're not diabetic, you're fine. But no. And again, one test is not enough to make a diagnosis. You could have had been in a rush to get to the lab that day, a bad night's sleep. A lot of things can cause one blood sugar to go awry, okay? So that's why getting a 3-month test is more important. And so, and that's the whole point, is that sugar imbalance a sign and even a part of why you're fatigued? Was a fasting insulin done? Postprandial insulin? You can do other types of things that help define, am I metabolically that healthy? Okay? But a 95 is not a disease, but it's not optimal. You see the difference? It's a really, that's when I talk to people, even when we get to supplements. You know, having enough B12 to prevent an acute B12 deficiency is one thing. Having enough B12 to be healthy long-term is a completely different question, okay? Having a 95 blood sugar means you're not diabetic. Woo! Doesn't mean you're completely metabolically well, not necessarily. And it doesn't mean you're diseased because that's only one test and we don't have enough information, okay? Did everybody get that? The doctor was looking at it from a perspective of disease, not imbalances, because that's what they're taught to do. So for heaven's sakes, don't blame them for that, okay? It's a change in perspective. So what happened in 98 is I had to step away from medicine for a while just to see it more clearly. It really was a good move on my part, okay? Because sometimes when you're involved in something, you don't see things very well. You have to step back a little bit to see them more clearly. Maybe, you know, if I was enlightened at the time, I wouldn't have to do that, but I certainly still ain't. So getting perspective is a darn good thing, okay? And at first, I got a little irritated by it because I felt like, and the reason I don't think most doctors do it, I do, because if you look at it, you go, damn, I have spent 100-hour work weeks, I've been brutalized by the system, and I really didn't get trained in what I thought I was going to get trained in. So you can see how that would irritate you. It can, I promise. So at that point, you can make a decision and say, go, wow, I guess I need to learn more, which is basically, you know, a thing now, you know, and so, and never stop learning, of course. And so when I look at the rest of these tests, so we already talked, ferritin is another one, especially for you ladies. Great studies right now showing that if your ferritin isn't over 50, that's a cause of fatigue. Ferritin is iron storage, sorry. And if your ferritin isn't over 50, that is a cause for fatigue, especially in women. That's where most of the studies are, because women tend to have lower irons for obvious reasons, periods and things, right? So now, iron is one of those things that can become toxic. So what's an optimal ferritin? It's probably somewhere between 50 and 150, okay? And anything over 150 can even become dangerous, pro-oxidative. So too much iron can be bad. Too little iron is bad, too. And I cannot emphasize enough, the blood count was normal in these ladies. They were not anemic, but they still had low iron storage. And because iron is important for many other metabolic systems, including thyroid hormone metabolism, it's very plausible that a low iron storage can lead to fatigue, even if you're not anemic. That number isn't as well worked out, but the hope is that that is correct. Okay, men tend to have higher ferritin because we don't bleed every month. It's obvious, I understand that, but so it's a much more common problem in women for the obvious reason. And of course, this depends on how many pregnancies a woman has had, etc. So trust me, even if you're 10 years postmenopausal, if you're iron deficient when you went into it, you're still probably iron deficient. Okay, so it's look at that. And that's just another simple thing to look at. Is my ferritin above 50? Oh, I could try some iron supplements and that can help my fatigue. And it really, I've seen that happen, by the way. Okay, not always. Stool testing, the GI effects test from Metametrics. Everybody knows that I have to be very specific. When I say a stool test, this is the one I mean. Not, I went to some lab and checked for parasites. That's useless. Okay. But can I find a test that really looks at my microbial balance? Sorry for terms like that. Bacterial balances and those kinds of things and metabolism. I can find those things. That's that. Food sensitivity testing. It's not perfect. I want to get this out there. Everybody's heard me say this. How did I get to middle path medicine? Western medicine said this. Natural medicine said this. Truth somewhere in the middle. Okay. Western medicine. Food allergies don't exist. Boy, that made that easy. Really is the simplest system of healing I've ever come across, by the way. It really is. Oh, that's easy. Or here, take an anti-inflammatory. Something like that. Two aspirins calling me in the morning. So it doesn't exist. Don't even bother looking. Okay. Natural medicine. Wow. Every symptom in the known universe can be caused by a food allergy. Wow. And then when you get very different, I had a young lady today where we did one food allergy test from this one company called Cyrex. I didn't lift it up. Another one from this Alcat company. And they gave me different pieces of information. One said she was allergic to one thing. One said she wasn't. We had to combine these things. There's no perfect food allergy testing, but there's no question she had some food sensitivities. And if you even hear, I use the term food allergies when I'm supposed to say food sensitivities, okay? Because it's not a true allergy that we're talking about. Okay, but I'm so used to using the term food allergies, it still pops out of the mouth. Okay, but can food sensitivities be a cause of fatigue? Big time, yes. Okay, look for them. Get some help. Is the testing perfect yet? No. Keep trying anyways. Okay, viral antibody testing. So many things we're finding are reactivating in people. Okay, that CMV, cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, human herpes viruses are a whole bunch of family of viruses that have nothing to, there's a couple that have to do with sexual transmission. This is a family of viruses that get into our body and stay with us for life. Like chickenpox virus can cause shingles later in life, right? Okay, so, sorry for those of you who've had this. But that virus can reactivate. But when I say the easy part of that is whenever that one reactivates, you can see it on the body. When these other ones reactivate, you can't see it. You can feel tired and achy and flu-like and all these other things. And it reactivates in some people and doesn't reactivate in others. We don't have great viral load testing for these viruses yet because there's no drugs for them. So once again, why don't, I promise you, if Epstein-Barr virus had a good drug for it, your doctor would, you'd be having some commercial, ask your doctor about Epstein-Barr virus, and have they mentioned, you know, this. That would be out there instantaneously, and we would be able to get quantifiable tests for it, and be able to, but there's no good drug for it. So why don't you know about these things that are out there? I'm not even going into all the bacterial infections and Lyme serologies and Borrelia organisms. Trust me, that's a chronic fatigue workup for more severe things than what we're talking about tonight. Okay, but these things, especially in women, parvo B19 is a cause of fatigue, not just arthritis. And yes, there are parvoviruses that affect humans, not just dogs. And then we can go even more, and that's the stuff I really like. Amino acid profiling, fatty acid profiling, those kinds of things can be really fascinating as well. They just start to get pricier and pricier and pricier, okay? But they really get into the nutritional biochemistry of the person, and that's the stuff I really find fascinating. That's the stuff that I went into the medical schools for, because I was a nutrition major even as I went into a medical school. So that's the stuff that I found interesting and somehow ended through 100-hour work weeks and things towards, you know, mainly using drugs. Okay, I was indoctrinated. how about that? So, assessment. Hang in there, guys. I already mentioned, measure everything you can. Yes, there's more important things than your testosterone level, but I can measure your testosterone level. I can't measure, again, what music you need to listen to, okay? So, but those are the questions you ask. So testosterone, free testosterone. This is an epidemic that's going on, progesterone in women and testosterone in men, okay? For a whole variety of reasons, including skincare products, ladies, okay? Organic skincare products. You guys have been taught to put so much stuff on your bodies that are just not good for you. And guys in general, we don't care. So we don't put that much on. It's not that we're smarter. Just that, you know, we want you to smell pretty and we don't care what we smell like. More or less, you know. But I digress. So where was I? I know exactly where I am when I do this, by the way. Anyways, so testosterone. I'll just stick with that one. In the last 18 years, there's been a 15% drop in the average male testosterone. Okay, and that means a 50-year-old from today versus a 50-year-old from 18 years ago has a 15% lower. I'm comparing apples to apples here. 15% lower testosterone. The numbers are indicating, if anything, that drop is getting slightly worse. Something is going on environmentally, which is dropping men's testosterone. It is not good for men. I want to emphasize that. When a doctor gets a testosterone value, it's based upon lab population averages, which are not just taking those averages and dropping the testosterone level down as everybody's reference range is now that lower number. Okay, so the reference range from today compared to the reference range from 15 years ago is different, by the way. And lower is better. Lower is normal. So when you have a normal testosterone, it might not be normal at all for you, including the free testosterone, looking at things like DHEA, which is another adrenal androgen. So the workup, especially for men, testosterone plays a bigger role in men, and I know Dr. Oz tells you different. Just kidding. But women, testosterone isn't the same hormone in you. It doesn't do quite as many things as powerful. It can be useful. I'm not saying not to look for it in women. It's just a primary driver in men, okay? And this problem, environmentally speaking, why men's testosterone levels are dropping is a huge part of male fatigue. The similar thing seems to be happening for women's progesterone, and that has a lot to do with the endocrine disruptors, all the stuff you guys are putting on yourself, plastics, drinking out of Fiji bottles of water that have been 100 degrees temperatures, BPAs, all the things that are out there that are disrupting your endocrine system, okay? Your endocrine system being your glands, your thyroids, and all these other things, okay? So there's so many hormonal things to look at, and of course men and women are different, yay, okay? So, but you need somebody looking at it from what's optimal, because an optimal testosterone, a guy who comes in and they're told on the reference range that their testosterone is okay if it's 200 to 600, okay, and their youthful level was 800 to 1200, okay. Now, is that much of a drop from if they lived at 1000 and they're now living at 240, which is normal, okay, is that normal? And the answer is most likely not, okay. But remember, there's a lot of reasons why testosterone can drop. They've shown that men who go through boot camp, for instance, a lot of stress, testosterone drops to near zero at the end of it. It rebounds nicely, as the legends would have it. But the stress of boot camp is enough to cause testosterone to drop to near nil, okay? Because you're in so much fight or flight stress responses, it isn't the top priority. Once you get out, it becomes top priority, okay? Looking at female hormones is a whole subject. Adrenal function through salivary profiling can tell us a lot about adrenal fatigue, which is its own subject. Remember, each of these things, I've done an entire hour talk on adrenal fatigue. I cannot do that tonight, okay? Thyroid hormones, please, okay? Please. The Western doctor of today has been indoctrinated into the TSH and the free T4, which is nice knowledge from 20, 30 years ago, okay, when that's all we had. And thank heavens we had those tests when those were the only tests we had. Okay. However, a lot of the endocrine disruptors, the effect of low levels of minerals, the effect of the low ferritin will cause this free T3. Now, very basically, TSH, pituitary, talking to your thyroid. It's a nice test, but it isn't the test as everybody is taught. Okay. The actual circulating storage form of thyroid hormone, the one that comes out of the thyroid, or the most common prescriptions, are T4, which is a storage form of thyroid, something that gets converted into an active hormone. The basic premise of the Western doctors were taught, it always just happens. You just convert it to the active stuff. No, yeah, don't even bother looking. Seriously, don't even bother looking is the basic thing. And so free T3 is present at logarithmic levels less. So 20 years ago, you couldn't even measure it. That's why, you know, from 20 years ago, I measured T3s 20 years ago. No, it wasn't part of my training. And you couldn't even measure it anyways. Okay. So free T3 is the biologically active version of the thyroid hormone. Reverse T3 is a key player in terms of when your body is trying to slow your metabolism. The basic thing, any chronic stress causes your body to want to slow itself down. Chronic stresses of the past, getting paleo on you again, chronic stresses of the past tended to be famines, long cold winters, those types of things. Having a fast metabolism during a long cold winter, not a good idea. You're dead by the time it comes around and you get food. So your body slows down in terms of chronic stress. Many medicines cause an inhibition of the normal conversion of T4 to T3 and this elevated level of this reverse T3, which is considered an experimental test. It's one of my most useful tests to see how metabolically well someone is. Somebody has a very good reverse T3, most of the time they're really healthy because a lot of things can cause reverse T3 to elevate and slow your metabolism down even if T4 and TSH look fine, okay? And that's especially the problem when the doctor only gives T4. I can give you more and more T4 as a doctor, suppress the TSH, make it lower, which is supposedly a good thing, and this will go up and up, and the more T4 I give you, the more reverse T3 you make, the more hypothyroid you are. And the doctor says, oh no, you got way too much thyroid, and you feel hypothyroid. And that's because these things aren't being measured. It's also a good idea to look for the reason for the thyroid hormone being down, thyroid antibodies as well. So thyroid is huge. I just had a guy today who we got labs back, and again, really tuning into his body. He's a long-distance bike rider. He said, man, I'm just not recovering from exercise. And you look at this guy, and it's like, this is one of the fittest people you'll ever want to find. And I said, listen, let's just do a series of evaluations just to make sure everything's okay, because he really did seem like he was tuning into his body, and I didn't expect to find anything wrong, and he was slightly hypothyroid. And not enough, I think, to affect most people. I think he notices it because he pushes himself so hard, okay? If he was just lazing around, he probably wouldn't have noticed that he was hypothyroid, but since he pushes himself to the edge, he did. And so that's what was kind of fascinating. And so growth hormone is another thing to consider, but hormonal assessment for fatigue is huge. Yes?
So, thyroid
hormone levels, great question. TSH changes slowly, weeks to months, but weeks, okay? Free T4, you know, days to weeks. Free T3 changes throughout the day. There's many studies, and this, again, I try to avoid throwing up a bunch of studies today, okay? So a bunch of studies on people who've had thyroidectomies or radioactive iodine, and they have good tests, but they have much more fatigue than the average population. Your body regulates thyroid function much more carefully. This idea that you can just take one pill a day and, oh, who needs a thyroid, that really was oversold to us. Your body regulates thyroid function on a lot of different levels. Because when I'm talking about, many times the T4 can be fine. So let's say it's either the medicine is being given to you or the your own thyroid is putting out the T4. And you feel hypothyroid, it's because of what your body's doing to it. It's the metabolism of the thyroid, not the production of the thyroid, that's gone awry. Most people I see with hypothyroidism have a combination of both, where they're not either producing enough, but they're also their metabolism, converting into active forms, becomes the biggest issue. And it's not even being tested for, and once you test for it, even then, once you find it, it can be difficult because you don't know for sure why their body's trying to slow them down, and you have to ask the question, huh, if your body's trying to slow you down, is it smart to try to counteract that? That's a darn good question, too, because we ought to treat why that's occurring, the medicine or something else, okay? So, yes, thyroid hormone fluctuates, okay? But that goes into the body. The regulation of thyroid is a lot more complex than any doctor's really been taught. And for some reason, and again, the endocrinologists really seem to be firmly set in that you don't measure these other things. That's that wacko, weird, natural medicine stuff, you know. I'm not saying there's a lot of wacko, weird, natural medicine stuff. I love all of it. But this goes into the assessment part of things. Please, I'm trying to look into. The idea is have an idea of what a workup would be if you're still fatigued. If you have that intuition, I see some people and like, you know, they know why they're tired. You know, they're not getting enough sleep, or we'll talk, you know. I mean, I self-inquiry can be pretty simple. Oh, I need to change that. Well, I don't want to. Okay. Well, there you go. Why are you here today? You know, I mean, so, you know, but many people have fatigue. And it's a funny thing. There really is a legitimate reason for it. And I would keep searching if you have that intuition. There's something I'm missing. And I would look for something different than a standard Western medical workup. I see so many people year after year after year. They got a CBC, a comprehensive metabolic panel. Almost everybody does these things, and they sometimes still misinterpret them. CBC and a metabolic panel, they've gotten a cholesterol panel, of course. They've been told to go on a statin. That helped a lot. And that they haven't gotten a homocysteine. They haven't gotten a vitamin D level. They haven't looked at these other tests. So please look for these things and get them optimized. We'll talk about vitamin D more when we talk about immunity, but get an optimal level, 70 to 90. Homocysteine is the B vitamin marker. Can we get an optimal B vitamin metabolism? It is a lot different. And once again, this goes into when we talk about the supplements in a second. 6 micrograms is how much B12 it takes to prevent an acute deficiency. 600 to 1,000 micrograms is what's appropriate based on amino acid, a metabolism test, for the best level of B12. So when you see a supplement, oh man, it's 100% of the RDA, I wonder why I feel tired. Because you're taking logarithmically less than you need to. Okay, it's not even in the ballpark. Okay, so that's the whole point. When we talk about supplements, most supplements are based on acute deficiency diseases, not on how to be optimally healthy. Okay? Yes?
She asked about thyroid. Do hormone, I'm on bioidentical hormone replacement. Do I need to think
My question goes into bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. When we talk about that, bioidentical hormone can mean a lot of things, but most of the time we're talking about estrogens and progesterone, sometimes testosterone, okay? And there's a lot of theories about how much testing you do or don't do. Do you just listen to the woman's body? Do you give physiological doses of the hormones? And if she's doing well, listen to her own body more than the labs. My experience has been a woman's body is a better marker of whether she's getting enough or too much than the tests are, because there's such a huge variation. Because if you use topical hormones, for instance, they're carried on the red cells, so you need saliva testing to adequately determine. So many people come in and they don't think they're measuring a serum test, looking for serum estradiol, and they're on topical hormones. Let's use that as an example. And the estradiol is all being carried on the red cells. Those were spun down and taken out of the serum, and now we measure the serum and said, wow, you're on a lot of estrogen, but you're not getting enough. And the answer is no, they're getting enough. We're just measuring it where it ain't. In the serum. So, and there's a lot of debate and argument about how to measure, what the right ranges are. It goes on and on and on. So in general, we try to stick with physiological doses of hormones and listen to your body more so than I listen to the labs. This is one area that was true. Western doctors often didn't measure the test very much because they knew this information. And I've had people go to these natural doctors, and every 3 months they get a salivary profile. Somebody would change their hormones, and that was basically hocus pocus. That was not science at all. It just looked scientific because they got tests. Okay. No, really. So, this is for crying out loud, I was hibernating. Don't you guys ever take a pulse. There is an importance to physical exam in all of this too, by the way. This was my little reminder. It's like I was going through all this esoteric tests and things like that. Oh yeah, I haven't mentioned blood pressure, you know. You know, there is a role for physical exam, or look what can happen, you know. So there's all many parts of this that we got to look into in terms of, you know, what's going on. And then I look at preventive medicine stuff. Another recent, the coronary calcium score is partly a reminder. They've actually shown people over the age of 50 with fatigue have a higher rate of coronary artery disease than the general population. Huh. And then especially if you're a guy and have some erectile dysfunction, which is another sign of having possible cardiovascular issues, it's really important. Is my symptom of fatigue my body's way of saying, dude, it's time to slow down a little bit. Hiking up the Andes ain't going to be for you, okay, because your heart won't take it, okay? So this goes into why we don't want to just say, here, let's take some amphetamines and go up the Andes, okay? So coronary calcium score is the single best test for predicting overall lifespan compared to any other test, and nothing is close in predicting overall lifespan. Breast cancer screening, mammography, thermography, self-breast exam, physician exam, even in high-risk women sometimes doing yearly MRIs. Do breast cancer screening. I'm not saying breast cancer is a cause of fatigue in general, but this is a time to say, huh, let me see, am I really doing the things I need to do in terms of health screening? Let the symptom guide you, because you never know what the symptom means. Prostate cancer screening, this is where I really do a lot more in terms of keeping my patients away from the urologist as the first step. If the PSA, I do measure prostate-specific antigen. That's the prostate cancer screening test. I measure free PSA. I do a prostate exam and do this urine test called a PCA3. I even do prostate ultrasounds if guys have PSAs over, basically over 2.5 to 3, because they do have a high rate of cancer. I just don't want to send them immediately to having needles stuck into their prostate, which could even spread it and cause other problems and lead to unnecessary surgery. So is there a role for doing further testing in your doctor's office if they know how to do these things? Yes?
Did you comment on the latest article about they're trying to eliminate prostate PSA testing because of something called positive surgery? It does not predict a mortality.
Yes. And this is Phil. He's listening to a different radio station while he's on that. Don't let him fool you. He tapes these things for us, by the way, and puts this as part of on the website. So he provides a great service for us, and that's Phil Gill. And so the question goes into exactly what my point of doing this kind of testing. Again, I have a good friend who's a urologist, so I want to emphasize that. His job, the American Urological Association, tells him if your PSA is greater than 2.5, then you should biopsy their prostate. That's what he's told to do. Medical, legally, he is very, very limited in terms of what his options are. Okay, so why do I want the patient to see that urologist? Because randomly sticking needles into a prostate, you'll find prostate cancer, and then a guy will often do unnecessary surgery or radiation or things just based upon a lab test. What Phil was bringing up is the studies show that the PSA screening does not lead to an improvement in prostate cancer mortality and probably a lot of excess procedures. I agree with that completely. Does that mean to me to give up on the test? No. It means it's how the doctor uses the test. That's what people don't understand. They think a blood test is harmless. No. Every blood test you have can cause great harm to you. The PSA is an example. The mammography is an example. Because one test leads to another test, which leads to a biopsy, which can lead to unnecessary surgery, which can lead to infection, bleeding, and death. Okay. So I take blood testing and urine testing very seriously. The PSA test is something to look at because it can tell which guys are going towards developing prostate cancer, but the idea isn't to start with drugs or surgery. That's the most important thing here. Are there great nutrients that can help reverse this process? Yes. I've done this many times with people, is that you can make these tests get better. We make sure the prostate ultrasound is okay. There's no nodules, nothing growing or things. We do some other further testing other than just the PSA, and we figure out who has the most aggressive looking things, and those are the people who should get this. Well, not doing a PSA on everybody is not good medicine. It's just, I don't want to do something that might get us all in trouble. Okay? I wanted to, no, really, that's what it is. And so we want to still do the PSA in guys, but it's what the doctor does with it that's so dangerous. Okay? And so, and can you find someone who doesn't send you straight to having biopsy? Because if it, the PSA does lead straight to biopsy, then the test isn't very good. If you get a coronary calcium score and freak out and go straight to the cardiologist and get put on 3-drug therapy, the test wasn't the right thing for you because that wasn't the goal for it. Okay? It's how we use these tests that's the most important thing. So can they be dangerous? It's, you know, yeah, they can. And so, but the studies that look and say PSA is not useful are because it's looking at aggressive approaches that lead to a lot of complications without an improvement in mortality. And we're being so non-selective, we're blasting every guy's prostate, it's very difficult to find the few that would benefit and treat those selectively. That's what I'm looking for. Yes?
Thermography for breast cancer screening.
Say that again?
Thermography,
yes.
It has
not. The question is thermography better than mammograms? And the answer is it has not been studied, probably won't be studied because the powers that be say mammography. Mammography is the x-ray of the breast. This is my standard recommendation. If you're a woman over 60, mammogram is the best test because the breast has become much less dense, more fat, less breast tissue, and the mammography can see more clearly. Okay. If you're under 50, thermography is best because you're using heat imaging, and the studies are very clear. Under 50, mammography has no survival benefit whatsoever. And so under 50, thermography, which is heat imaging, thermogram, okay, heat imaging the breast, has the potential to be better than breast than mammography. It has the potential to be. It also has the potential to find a lot of things that are fairly mild changes that freak people out too. You need to hear that. So thermography is almost always, there's some heat signature. There's a fingerprint to your breasts, okay? So there's a heat signature to each. They're almost always a little different. So just because this part of your breast is a little hotter than this one doesn't mean breast cancer is developing. And that's why thermography is still needs to be fine-tuned so we don't overly freak women out, but we still find the things that are important. Heat imaging will change in cancer maybe 10 to 15 years earlier than calcific changes. That's what you pick up on mammography. So the possibility that the thermogram is better is absolutely there. By the time you have a visible 1 centimeter nodule of cancer, it's probably been going on about 20 years. Okay, so that's the key. Do we have a window to find something and find something better? Yes. Okay, so that's what we're looking for. The self-breast exam is important, just knowing myself, okay, monthly. Physician exam is important. That hasn't been documented. Let's be very clear. Has physician exam ever been shown to improve breast cancer mortality? And the answer is no. It's been shown to lead to a lot of excess surgeries, procedures, with no improvement in breast cancer mortality. You go, dude, why are you recommending a yearly exam? Because I've found so many things, okay? They've actually shown in many studies that even doctors who are being monitored, because they're on video, a good 60% have no pattern to their breast exam. It's like, you know, banging around. Sorry. A little too graphic right there. You know, just going whap, whap, whap doesn't help, you know. And so there's no systematic. And these are the doctors that know they're being taped, okay? So think about what that really means, that most physician breast exams really have fallen way off of what they're supposed to be. Colon cancer screening after the age of 50, I recommend to everybody, earlier if there's a family history. Same thing goes, earlier, all these things can be earlier if there's family histories going on that suggest earlier times. The numbers that are used here in terms of the screening, like, I'm sorry, it's not a, this is colonoscopy over the age of 50, but if you had a first-degree relative who had a colon cancer at age 60, I'd start 20 years before that. I'd start at age 40. Okay? Yes?
The coronary calcium score
is a test that you want a zero on. Okay? So let's start with the most obvious. Yeah. Some people can rub that in, but if you have a zero and your spouse has, well, something higher, it's a point. Anyways, so a calcium score of zero is perfect. That means you're not developing calcific coronary artery disease, and it's a wonderful thing. A 1 to 10 means very mild changes and usually means you're developing less coronary artery disease than the average person, okay? And then it goes from there, especially to one from up to 100 to 400 and past, okay? And so, and it lets us know how much what's going on in your body is affecting those blood vessels. Now, when you have a high test, it doesn't mean you're going to get a heart attack. It does mean you have a higher chance than somebody who doesn't have that. That's all it means. And it means to be treated more aggressively. And this is a very good delineator. If I'm a guy and I have high cholesterol and coronary artery disease and I have a calcium score of 480, I put up together a lot of pieces of evidence so that a statin drug is now a good thing, not just willy-nilly giving it to everybody. Okay? And that's why we want to come up to decisions, not say drugs are always the wrong choice, because that's not true. There are set situations where the drug is the right thing. The reason people think that the drug, the statin, is right for everybody is because that's the sales pitch. If you wanted to sell Lipitor or whatever drug, you want to sell it to everybody, just not the people who it's right for. It's true. Okay. Coronary calcium score is a ultra-fast CAT scan of the coronary arteries. Okay. Now you first, yeah. An ultra-fast CAT scan of the coronary arteries. You lay there. Sorry, just a second. Lay there. They hook you up to an EKG so they can do the CAT scan slices, and they time it to your cardiac cycle. So your heart is beating. It only takes a slice when it's, you know, in diastole or something. It's folding up, okay? And so that's photographically standing still. Poof, you get pictures of the coronary arteries. So that's what I think. Coronary artery disease is very diagnosable, okay? Doing treadmill tests is useful for certain things, but it does not pick up on who's developing early coronary artery disease. Treadmill stress test is only good at picking up on who has the most critical of critical coronary artery disease. That's it. And I'm not saying that doesn't have some use, but for screening, that's not useful. Yes?
The preparation for the colonoscopy, can you get a colonic versus the awful gallon?
Everybody's trying to avoid the, you know, that's why I always tell people, you know, colonoscopy, you know, you're not looking forward to it. If you were looking forward to it, be very concerned about you. That prep, you need to prep all the way through. A colonic is not enough. It doesn't clean you off because you have stuff coming through. And so to really see, trust me, I've done sigmoidoscopies a lot in my earlier career, and when somebody has a bad prep, all you're doing is, you know, zigging and zagging through crap and you can't see anything, okay? So it's not of much use to the person to go through that and then, you know, picking up on that, but no, the prep is the way to go. Sorry. Yes?
Is there an alternative to statin therapy when people have reactions to statin?
Yes. It's a little past our scope of talk, but yes, there are options for drug therapy outside of the classic statin drugs, which have the most proof, actually most proof. They're really among the drugs we use, outside of maybe niacin, which is really a B vitamin, have evidence for improving cardiovascular mortality in men, not in women, by the way. And so the use of statins, if they're not tolerated, red yeast rice, there has been a study which has a statin component. 100% of people, if it's a double-blind trial, can tolerate red yeast rice if they can't tolerate a statin. In my clinical practice, I have not found that to be true. I have found some people who react to it anyways. But in the double-blind trials, if somebody doesn't know they're taking something that has a statin component, they won't have the same reaction to it. So red yeast rice is a fungal extract that's grown on rice, okay, that has a statin component that is wonderful at lowering cholesterol, but more importantly, having similar effects to statins in terms of anti-inflammatory and other effects. Because cholesterol is a tiny part of heart disease, and heart disease is its own subject, which you've done talks on. Blast, up to now, the runner was one of my prime suspects. So does this get confusing? And the answer is yes. Okay, you can have a lot of arthritis on an X-ray and not have any pain. You can have a lot of coronary calcium scores and not have significant coronary artery disease, believe it or not. Not significant from a standpoint of blocking your arteries. So these tests only get us in the direction towards the truth. In this world we live in, there's very little truth. Okay? There's what we hold to be true. Okay? So you got to hold on loosely to these tests. Can't let them overly freak you out, but you also have to use them as well. Okay, and so is it confusing when we talk? Seriously, we talked about a bunch of tests to look at, including basic screening tests, and we're saying, huh, I'm using my symptom to say, you know what, I really haven't gotten a colonoscopy. And I'm not saying colon cancer is a cause of fatigue, but it could be. Okay, so use your symptom to say, wow, it's probably reasonable to get some of these tests. Take advantage of what Western medicine does so well. That's why I think a lot of people go into natural medicine. It's like, I either got to do this or I got to do that, you know, Western stuff. No, it's like me with cancer these days. Please, let's work this stuff together, you know. I just had a talk with a lady today, you know, told not to do IVC because she's got her radiation therapy. And no, the studies in oncology literature, the oncologist who told her not to do it, the studies show the IVC improves the outcome with radiation therapy, but she's told not to do it because it's an antioxidant, which shows complete misunderstanding of a very basic thing in terms of how you treat cancer. It's a weird world out there, folks, okay? So it's confusing. Get a guide, okay? Got a guide who knows about more than just one set thing, though. Nutrition. We spend a lot of time on nutrition. Please. I have PowerPoint presentations. Is gluten-free the way to be? Is fat where it's at? That's on our website. Mark's Daily Apple from Mark Sisson. And I apologize to everybody. I keep on calling him Mark Nissen for some reason. If I wrote down for you, it's Mark Sisson. Always has been. it's one of those little things you get in your head and you keep on writing down the wrong thing. Sorry about that. That's his real name up there. I had to look it up. and so look at the presentations. One of the best feedbacks I get from people with low energy, aches and pains, is if you cut out those grains, sugars, beans, people feel better. They just do. Okay. Our cycling with carbohydrates, one of the greatest causes of disease in our country, and the answer is yes. Okay. Do we eat too much of them? Yes. Okay. Is it an absolute... See, this is the thing. Do you know, you guys know there's no absolute truths. Can some people eat beans? Of course they can. I mean, come on. I mean, I know that, okay? However, it's a lot closer to the truth to say, wow, we got to keep this carb load down because it is a signal to the body that it is feast time. Carbs are a signal to your body that it's a feast, and we need to store fat, and there's a lot of reasons why that's pro-inflammatory, and it's a huge cause of disease, okay? The importance of water. There was a study in Italy. See, that's why these things are up here. So I didn't, you know, can refer me to all the studies that I read, but didn't put up here, so I wasn't confusing. Oh, come on, that was funny. I am confusing. Jeez. You guys, everybody needs to breathe. we're almost done. What's timing? 10 minutes? Okay. 86% of school children, if you measure urine osmolality things, will go into this classroom dehydrated. Just give them water and their scores improve. Dehydration is one of those signals. Your fatigue, drink more water. Why do I care? Part of the reason I carry water is if you go up as a speaker, most of the time your adrenaline's running a little bit and your throat gets a little dry. So, you know, drink water. Everybody knows I carry Pellegrino around. It's the water I like the most. I am not making any national statements about Pellegrino, folks. I just like it, okay? But drink more water is a very key thing. That classic half your body weight in pounds, so a 200-pounder drinking 100 ounces of water a day is a good rule to follow, okay? And can you drink too much water? Of course, you can do too much of anything. But, you know, for heaven's sakes, most people are running around dehydrated. Drinking water, I've had people who've seen neurologists cure their headaches. Drink water, drink water, drink water. It's one of the most important nutritional supplements out there, okay? And by the way, most of these studies show that tap water works, okay? So I want to emphasize, I'm not saying, and tap water sometimes goes through much more quality control than your Dasani water in the thing that you spent, you know, $20 at the airport or something like that. but I digress. Water is important. I recommend reverse osmosis water, yes. Okay, that's the one I would recommend. Use a clean canteen, stainless steel canteen. and use that to transport your water. Please avoid the plastics that are out there. Okay. And of course, etiquette is important. Question: can anyone here tell me what Hansen is doing wrong with his elbows? So, anyways, any questions on nutrition? I'm really not an etiquette guy. I'm sure you guys know that. Yes.
PowerPoint. What kind of PowerPoint do you need? I can't. My computer's not picking up your PowerPoint. That's probably a question.
It's a stealth PowerPoint. I don't know. It's like a stealth fire. We use PowerPoint. I don't know which. We have one of the later versions, so maybe it's because you have an older version. Is that why maybe it's not picking up? That might be it. But I'm not a tech guy. My son is. In terms of why, if there's anybody who knows, if she can't pick up on PowerPoint on our presentations on the website, my guess it would be that you have an older version and you need to upgrade. You know, that's how they make their money, is like, you know, yeah, sorry. Supplements. Okay, so we only have time, so we're going to go through the rest of these things relatively quickly. Everybody, basic nutritional protocol. If you are breathing, you take a good multi, fish oils, and vitamin D. This basic nutritional protocol is on our website. Everybody who's ever seen me has a copy of it. It hasn't changed a whole lot. Find a good multivitamin. There's a huge gob of evidence for its benefit in a primary prevention basis. Fish oils are one of the most profoundly beneficial things you can take, and they were challenged recently because they're dosed in an inadequate way. Okay, you're not taking enough. EPA DHA, 2,500 milligrams a day of the fish oils at least. Okay, that's what gives you therapeutic effect. EPA and DHA are both important. And there's other good fats. We did a whole talk on fats where it's at, so once again. And vitamin D, get your level to 70 to 90. Great antioxidants, and there are some supplements to look for. I'm not saying you can't ever take a ginseng revitalizer from Planetary Herbals or Cordyceps, the CS4 from Planetary Herbals and other things. There are other herbal things that people use to help with generating energy. But I think you guys are getting the idea. I want people to look at why their energy is low, not just take a drug or an herb for it. Okay? And I don't want you tired, so I understand there's a time for these things, all right? So, but please ask yourself, if you treat your symptom, please, please ask why too. People who take a heartburn medicine every day, please don't stop asking why you have heartburn. You need to ask, okay? If you're tired every day, then you need to ask why, okay? So, this part here about letting your, you know, I changed this. There was a whole about here about try not to do this on your own and things like that. Please have somebody work with you. I see so many people. I mean, just recently, somebody, I started taking krill oil. And, of course, all their labs went screwy and things like that because krill oil is not the same thing as EPA DHA. It's not the same. It's just another supplement that people sell people to make money and not necessarily because it's good. Fish oils make money for people, too, but at least they have benefits. Sleep and sexual health, please. This is a huge thing in terms of people not getting adequate sleep, not allowing themselves to take naps. Naps are one of the most healthy behaviors ever in recorded history, okay? Every mammal allows themselves to nap, but you're supposed to be diseased if you try to take a nap. Think about it, folks, okay? Wow, why am I tired? Probably because you need to rest. Oh, wow, what a leap. But I can't. That doesn't mean I'm not healthy. No, look at your dog that's running around like a thing, you know, as soon as everything's gone, batouge, right? So remember, a lot of this idea is, you know, if you take a nap in the afternoon, a 20-minute power nap, and you feel well for the rest of the day, that's not a disease, folks. That's you recharging your batteries, just like every other mammal does if they're healthy. So please do not look at napping as being unhealthy. It is unhealthy if you don't sleep at night and you're sleeping for 3 hours during the day. That's a dysfunctional sleep pattern, okay? So use the bedroom for sleep and sex only. Keep it dark at night. You can use it, you know, lights on for other things. Minimize electromagnetic fields. Choose the right mattress. Choose the right shoes. Vibram Five Fingers, I can't emphasize enough. Right shoes, right mattress. Your musculoskeletal health plays a huge role in how energetic you feel. I wish I had the time to go over just breathing exercises, aligning your chakras and things, but keeping this body aligned, keeping this ear over this shoulder is a huge part of physical energy. Chi, ki, prana, whatever you want to call it, breath systems, chakra systems. There's so much that I'm not getting into because I don't have the time, okay? But that's really where energy stuff really is. You got to take care of the physical body. We've got to take care of other things. But if you really want to work with your energy system, sit upright. Take care of yogas and stretching and the physical health, okay? See a chiropractor if you need to or a massage therapist and work with that physical body of yours. A large reason, women, you high heels, you guys still fall for that. You know, stop it, okay? It's not good for any human being to wear a high heel, okay? Maybe for a couple of hours at night at the, you know, formal or something. But that's it, okay? Why do I emphasize these Vibram Five fingers? Because I can stand all day now, and I used to think I had weak ankles. I run up mountains, do these other things. Always thought I had weak ankles because I sprained my ankles a lot ice skating as a kid. And I just thought that's what I had. I was wearing the wrong shoes. Look into the right footwear, the right mattress wear, okay? It's huge. Spend some money on these things, okay? Overnight oximetry and sleep studies. If you have any question, your partner says, man, you snore like, you know, nobody's business, and, you know, the whole room moves whenever you snore and things, get a sleep study. Look for things. Are you oxygenating at night? These are key questions. And there's many, many sleep disorders, which I, of course, can't get into, but we got to be sleeping adequately. I even mentioned this is a sex therapist in the area. So many people do not have a good sex life. It's horrible. And it has to do with hormone levels and everything else like that. And we don't want to talk about it. Okay? And Miranda was laughing at me for putting up a fun little website for adult couples to start exploring sexuality and health. It's a powerful thing. When we were 18, guys, it's all we could think about, and everything happened, okay? When you're married for 30 years and things like that, things ain't the same. Do you have to work at it a little bit? Is it fun? Is it a part of... Tantra itself is using sexual energy and creative energy for getting that energy flow. If you are blocked sexually, you will be blocked energetically. It's almost entirely true, okay? So is that one area to look at and start exploring this, because most people haven't had a very good sex education. And do we need sex therapists sometimes? Yes. And they are professionals, okay? So ask yourself, am I tired because my sex life isn't, and I'm very unfulfilled in this area? It very much can be. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there aren't excesses. You look, the number one industry in Hollywood for money-making is the porn industry. So do we have a lot of dysfunction in this area that most people either just don't want to admit and keep it hidden on the internet and whatever else like that? You know, is it the number one porn state was Utah? I got a kick out of that one. I know I shouldn't have gone there. But anyways, but it tells you what happens when, yeah, anyways. All right, so inevitably their affair ended. Howard worried excessively about what the pack would think, and Agnes simply ate the flowers. Are you right together? Is relationships important and things? Anxiety can lead to premature ejaculation. Eating flowers can just lead to no lack of, you know, orgasm. So there's all kinds of things here. There's a lot of truth in this, okay? So look at this. Are there reasons why we're having sexual unfulfillment? Calorie reduction, well understood. If you fuel yourself on good fats, you will naturally lower your calories, but you won't feel hungry all the time. So is calorie reduction a part of living longer and healthy? Yes. But we need to do it naturally, not from a fear of calories, okay, but from making food choices that don't cause the swings in carbs causing us to eat vastly fewer, more calories. There's so much research on this. If you have a carb-load breakfast, and the, eucaloric just means same amount of calories, but it's a balanced meal in the morning, most people will eat up to twice as many calories during the day if they eat just a pure carb breakfast, okay, because that carb puts you into that cycle. So if you break that cycle, you will naturally eat fewer calories without trying, which is a really important thing. Exercise, all three levels of fitness. Everybody knows we're into interval training these days. Interval training, bursts of activity. That's as compared to long times of activity. It doesn't mean having lots of fun playtime. Hike and bike and do all kinds of other things at good paces, but have some things where you're intensely lifting things or intensely doing aerobic where you're, you know, really pushing yourself hard, and look into interval training. Very important thing. All levels of fitness. I cannot emphasize enough. We look at these things a lot. Stretching fitness is the place to start. Stretch every single day. Yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, whatever system works for you. Get your body. Tune into your body each morning. See what needs work. Okay. And then work on the rest of these things as well. All three levels in fitness are so important for health. Losing flexibility with aging is one of the greatest diseases in our society. New technologies is something these guys are good. Look into 23andMe as a website to look for about genomics. Sorry, we don't have much time to look into this. KurzweilAI.net is a great website with daily newsletters about what's going on in technology these days. Cool stuff, okay? Ray Kurzweil, who wrote this book, Transcend, by the way, he's a very fascinating individual. I'm not saying I agree with everything he stands for, but he is a very fascinating individual. Hyper-intelligent. On this, and here we sit without opposable thumbs, but, you know, it is important to stay up with technology. I believe it or not, I have still some patients who don't have a computer. They aren't on the internet. Keep moving, folks, okay? Adapt or die. I know that sounds kind of mean, but it's not. That's what happens, okay? So, yes, I'm not saying every new technology needs to be adopted, but move along with things and keep learning new things and keep learning new languages and do different things because it's so powerfully important. Detoxification, we have a whole thing on the website about this. If we are in human form, we are getting toxic, period, okay? It's just that simple. If not, you yourself are enlightened. Everybody you meet is enlightened. You only breathe pure air, drink pure water, you're getting toxic. Every system of healing except this one tells you to detox, okay? Why? Because they were prevention-based. This one is treatment of disease-based. So a seasonal detoxification, which is its entire lecture. Remember, again, I'm just trying to get you guys to look at things. I hadn't thought about detox. What about those far infrared saunas? What about doing nutritional support? What about IVs? What about this homotoxicology system known as the HEAL detox? I've done every one of them. I think they're all good. Okay? You need to keep detoxing because you keep breathing. So, you know, like that basic nutritional protocol. How long do I stay on a multi-fish oils and D? As long as you're breathing. Okay. When do I know to stop detoxing? When when you're decomposing. These are good basic rules that are easy to follow. Dharma. Dharma means purpose. And that's one thing I'm adding into. I'm loosely using this Transcend model. The idea is dharma means there's three components to dharma, which is knowing thyself, we talked about that earlier, and expressing your unique talents in service to humanity. Otherwise, your body will continue to provide teachers. Okay? By now, you know what I mean by teachers. Symptoms. Okay? So this is a great question to ask yourself, is am I in dharma? Do I know myself and the true driving purposes of the human being? And knowing thyself means a lot more than just knowing thyself. Okay, so knowing thyself, and then am I expressing my unique talents in service to humanity? And if you aren't answering those questions in the affirmative, you need to understand what those are, those unique talents, sorry, and am I expressing them in a way that is in service? And when I use the term humanity, it can be to dogs and cats and other things too, because it's all part of humanity, really. So on that order, if you can't answer that, then that's probably why you're having part of why you're having symptoms. So ask yourself that question. This Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, I think Deepak wrote in 94-ish, okay? And Deepak's written like 4,000 books since then, right? Something like that. And he just can't stop. You know, he needs to work on the obsessive compulsive part of writing. But one of the things here that really rings true, this Law of Least Effort. I love this book. Practice it, okay? And if you really want to look at practices that can kind of bring that spiritual side of you out so you have more in mind than just yourself, the law of least effort is this moment, the entire universe created this moment for you. And you're fighting the entire universe. Now, I don't know if you, let's listen to that, but that sounds fatiguing. Okay, this is tilting at windmills, right? Okay, why do we write about tilting at windmills? We almost all are. We're not practicing the law of least effort, which means accept this moment. There's no other rational choice. So if you have a disease, you accept it. Because if otherwise, you're fighting the entire universe. You are truly tilting at the hugest windmill ever. The odds of you winning that battle are nil. Okay? Now, so when we approach this, acceptance is a key component to energy. I cannot emphasize that enough. Because most people are not practicing acceptance and responsibility, which is the ability to have a creative response to any situation. New Age thinking is a lot about responsibility being guilt, blame, and shame. That's old-time thinking brought into the present. Responsibility is the ability to respond, I'm going to add creatively, to any situation. It is a present moment, forward thinking, forward moving process. It doesn't have anything to do with blaming yourself, blaming anyone else, okay? Self-critical perfectionism, that's a disease, remember, from earlier? Okay, are you self-critical? Use that moment of self-critical thinking to go, wow, I'm probably not accepting this moment. Because you're not. You're being critical of yourself. And why would you be critical of something as perfect as you? Okay, so accept this moment. Okay, a responsibility is, do I have a creative response to this? It doesn't mean you want this moment, right? Okay, I'm not saying you have to be. That's what people have a huge problem with. Acceptance doesn't mean that you want this or, oh, I'm responsible for my cancer, heart disease, or whatever else like that. I'm responsible from a guilt, blame, and shame standpoint. But the responsibility is, huh, I just found out I have heart disease. Now what am I going to do about that? Okay, and that's in this moment moving forward. Okay, the defenselessness part is not needing to prove anybody else right or wrong, especially yourself. Okay, you let go of the need to prove yourself right. You will free up so much energy to love and have compassion and be in love with this world. People ask me how I have so much energy. Well, I don't, again, it's a long time practicing a lot of things, okay? And so, and I'm not, and also part of it is acceptance, okay? So, yes, this afternoon, huh, and there's good reasons for it, okay? But, you know, but I was like a little tired. I went outside, I got some sun for 15 minutes, and I felt a lot better, okay? I'm not saying that's the answer every time, okay? But I could fight it and say, well, damn, you're giving an energy talk. This is really sucking. Not that I didn't do that in my head, because I no way that would have crossed through this brain. of course it does. But then you catch yourself at that and say, okay, what do I do in this moment? I move, look forward. And I don't look backward at what I did the day before, the night before, and blame myself for it. I say, huh, in this moment, what do I do about my fatigue? Or whatever else is going on, okay? The practicing this, and that's when I said this acceptance, responsibility, defenselessness is one of my mantras, okay? And when does that mantra come in? It comes when I'm not accepting them, okay? And I'm certainly not being responsible from the way I just defined it, okay? And so, and then defenselessness. That's the thing I had learned on this family reunion. Wow. battling to defend a point of view is such an energy suck. Sometimes I have to expose myself to that to realize how horrible it is and how much, because it's such a normal part. Normal, dick fingers, normal part of, I think, most people's life, because I see it so frequently, okay? And how much energy would be freed up if people weren't arguing about the rightness or wrongness or trying to prove people right or wrong and just allowing people to have a different view of the world, because I love my family. I really do. And they have a much different view of the world than I do. I think you picked up on that. however, and I can love them for it, but I don't have to prove them right or wrong. And I'm not. And when you get back into the family, you get into old patterns. And I'm, you know, and did my dad and I butt heads? Because yes, that's what we do. Okay. And did we hopefully have some resolving? And is it still a work in progress? Am I a work in progress? Hell yeah. Okay. I don't know anybody who isn't. Okay, so this is a great, and this book is a great one too, but Law of Least Effort, and this E equals MC squared is just a little reminder, okay, that if you have a mass body, you have an energy body, okay? So is energy, if energy was just about calories, we'd be the most energetic country in the world, okay? It's not about calories. It's something much deeper, and it's something that you get in personal touch with. Work with breath. Pranayama is a system in the Ayurveda and the things. Breath is one of the best chi, ki, prana, different terms for the same thing. Breath is the best biofeedback. If you're tired, do diaphragmatic breathing slowly. Just let your diaphragm and breathe into your diaphragm. There's so many ways of doing this. I have a breath awareness meditation on that stress management talk. And just breathe. Water and breathing can do so much for helping low energy. Alignment of your energy system, your spine, whatever you want, drink more water and breathe consciously. Breathe from the diaphragm, not just unconsciously. most of us are in fight or flight. Remember, this world is meant to make you into fight or flight. And fight or flight leads to a stress response. Stress response leads to shallow breathing. Shallow breathing leads to inadequate oxygenation, and that leads to fatigue. It has to, okay? So please, I cannot emphasize enough, drink more water, breathe consciously, and you can do a ton just for dealing with your energy issues. Questions? Did you have a point? I'm sorry, I can't see what you're doing. Oh, sorry. Uda, stand up. She's a nutritionist who works with us in terms of implementing nutritional change as well as exercise, etc. She has things back there. Please get help in every process. Remember, we talked about getting guides, okay? A nutritionist is a guide. A personal trainer can be a guide. Look at what area you need the most help with. Do I need a sex therapist? Do I need a regular therapist? And get help, please, okay? Your symptom is driving you for that. It isn't just asking for a drug. Okay, and look at what area we have so many lines of development. I hope you're catching this. Transcend model is about there's so many areas, and at some point, if you're tired, you can ask yourself, you know what? I think it's an intuition will come to you. I think it's detoxing. No. I think I really need to do this meditation thing. I got to try. Use that intuition and get a guide in that area. Okay. Uda is a great guide in terms of helping us implement good nutrition, and good nutrition is an enormous part of helping with energy. Questions? That's kurzweil.ai.net, and sign up for their newsletter. Great information about technology advances that are going on as well. Other questions? All right, so helpful energy, take a look at this model. It's a great model for organizing journal, dream journal, okay? Really think about how you can tap into what's going on for you. And then, yes, when you get into this physical world, yes, you need to do physical things. I'm not doubting that, okay? But keep being an inquiry and let your symptoms be loving teachers. That's something you haven't been taught in general. And honestly, whether it's back pain, my toe hurts, I can't urinate well, whatever it is, okay? Nobody's wishing it on you. I can't emphasize that enough. However, it is meant to be a teacher to you. And if you're arguing, it's like things. If your kid's arguing with their teacher, they don't tend to learn a lot. If you're arguing with your symptom, just drugging it, you're not learning a lot. So keep learning, and that's the way to take your symptom and guide your own healing. Yes? The question is, if you have something like atrial fibrillation, now we've gone from a symptom like an arrhythmia to an actual disease, which is atrial fibrillation is where the top chambers of the heart are going like that, okay? There's a lot of factors that go into it, and there's many reasons for it, so that's where we're going into. Having a cardiologist can help you. Can I get back into normal rhythm, rather using electroshock? Can I use medicines? Can I do things to get that back into a normal rhythm? Because that can be helpful. But if you don't notice it, and you feel like you're doing well, and you're monitoring your pulse, do you have to treat it with drugs and electroshock therapies? No. Okay. You might have to talk to them about stroke prevention and other things. So this is where you really blend asking this inquiry, I think I have atrial fibrillation because I'm under too much stress. And the cardiologist say, oh, it has nothing to do with that. You're just getting old or whatever. Sorry, I didn't mean that. That just came shooting out there. Yeah, it's like, known for social appropriateness everywhere. Or something like that. And the idea is, no, use your own intuition. I wonder if I eat better, that will affect my heart rate variability. And the answer is, heck yes, okay? The amount that the symptom that my atrial fibrillation might affect me, there's a lot of ways of looking from this standpoint, even if you have a diagnosed disease like atrial fibrillation, okay? But that's where the inquiry process goes. It goes into, does this have a meaning to me? And that's whether that's cancer or stub toe. Is there a meaning in here for me that I need to be getting? And it's a reasonable question. Any other questions? Yes.
Define defenselessness.
Oh, do you know better than me? That was humor there, boy. Anyway. Defenselessness means that it's okay to have a position on anything, okay? It's okay for you to have, and we all have the right to whatever you have that opinion on, the idea is not to make yourself right or make anybody else wrong. That is defenselessness. And so, and, you know, it's difficult because some people come to a doctor often for, you know, I have to have opinions on things and help them figure out why did, because was there defenselessness when we're talking about, you know, using a Western doctor versus a chiropractor things? And it's, yeah, no, there's some judgment in there, no doubt about it, okay? But the mind is a discriminatory organ, and it's supposed to discriminate what's the best truth for itself. So never lose sight of looking for the best truth for you. But whether it's choosing strawberry ice cream over vanilla ice cream, you don't have to make vanilla ice cream wrong. Okay? A lot of people, oh, you all, why do you eat Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia? Well, I like it, you know. Well, it sucks compared to, you know, Chubby Hubby. It doesn't have to be that. And that's the way people are about this world. They're trying to make their thing right, you know. And I know it seems silly talking about ice cream that way, but we do that with almost everything. Can we make a good decision about ourselves without imposing our will on the rest of the world? And you see that a lot. It's very fascinating. So can we be defenseless? If you have any further questions, I'm up here. So thank you all.